Thank you.
Henry Leader will be absent tonight at this services meeting. Tony Arquette will arrive a little bit late. And at this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order of the August, it's the August 2019 service meeting. I have a motion to approve the agenda by Mr. Akers, who seconds it. Rita Kern seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Carried. Approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the July Services Committee meeting minutes? And it's made by Mr. Forsyth. And we have Ms. Arquette seconds it. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. We have a resolution setting a date for a public hearing on proposed local law number, for the year 2019 Sanitary Code of the St. Lawrence County Public Health
So this is just to set the date for the hearing. We have a draft code that's here as the resolution. I think you've known that this has kind of been coming down the pike since we have a sanitary role in the department and we have a Board of Health. This code is necessary to help us kind of make a standardization for what we provide to the county as we are the health officer.
Any more discussion? Authorize the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Department of Health to accept opioid epidemic grant funding for to fight the opioid epidemic in St. Lawrence County. Mr. Akers makes a motion. Ms. Arquette seconds it. Go ahead.
So as we had the funds for the first year, this is for the second year. We'll be receiving $72,000 more for the second year. So this is just to accept the funds.
And any discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract for the Early Intervention Administration Program for the Public Health Department. May need a motion. Mr. Perkins? Mr. Denisha seconds.
So this is an annual contract for the EI program. It's what we sign just on an annual basis, and the amount that we receive is the same as last year.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Let me mention the reason. So if I can just mention, we are holding at the mall tomorrow in the Messina area. There's going to be a clinic for the rabies vaccinations, and so the entrance to that is on the arena side. Okay. That's
this resolution is very similar to a resolution that you would have seen last year that would authorize the Community Services Department to enter into an agreement with Social Services Department to provide counseling for caseworkers and supervisors. It is important to maintain this in addition to private services that would be available from a private provider. And this resolution would allow us to enter into an agreement.
Any discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Another resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Peter Ladd, PhD, for rehabilitative supportive counseling services. Do I have Ms. Kern as the makes the motion? Who seconds it? Ms. Arquette seconds it. Go ahead, Chris.
This proposed resolution is to authorize us to enter into an agreement with a provider that serves as a clinician that the court would have us use.
Yes, go ahead, Mr.
Am I correct in assuming that this is a mandated service that we have to provide?
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution authorizing to fill a caseworker's position in the Department of Social Services. Moved by Mr. Haggard. Seconded by Mr. Burke. Go ahead, Chris.
So this is a position that is vacant due to resignation and is for caseworker position in Child Protective Services, where we have a critical need to maintain the level of caseworkers to handle the cases.
Go ahead, Mr. Forsythe.
Chris, how long a term was the employee with us?
February of 2018.
Year and a half?
Yeah, so relatively recent hire when she when the statistics were put together here, we had 12 active initial cases that she was handling, plus a couple of subsequent cases that are related, and 11 monitored cases. So already maintaining.
Getting up to speed, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I should add, especially since Jay Ulrich from Community Services is here, that in child welfare, we have another relationship between the Community Services Department and Social Services Department, and that is for co-location activities. So there are a couple of workers who are engaged with parents who may have substance abuse issues involved with screening, testing, re-engaging them, and educating caseworkers about what to look for. Making sure that if a baby has positive toxicology, that there is a plan put together that makes sense. And those two workers have been doing a lot of work for us, and there could be as many as 100 court-ordered screenings in a month, and there, I think in July, were over 60-some referrals, and referrals that were rolling over from the previous months as well.
I think it also allows us to do the care for the babies that are born with drugs in their system. So that's an additional service now that we have two instead of one of the co-located case aides.
More discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Resolution authorizing to fill a clerk position in the Department of Social Services. Anyone move its adoption? Mr. Akers? Mr. Haggard seconds it. Go ahead, Chris.
This resolution is for a keyboard specialist position. The person in this position was promoted to another position. It's a critical area for maintaining the Medicaid program and making sure that we're in compliance with regulations and timely notices and maintaining medical orders for personal care.
Any discussion? Yes, go ahead, Ms. Kerr.
So you heard the clerk's position,
I just read for the keyboard. Was I supposed to read for the clerk?
That's a good point.
Yep, I think we're on the keyboard.
Oh, okay.
We're still on the authorization to fill a keyboard specialist position in the Department of Social Services. Okay. Moved, seconded by Mr. Haggard. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Put this one here. Haven't done that one yet. Authorization to fill a clerk position in the Department of Social Services. Mr. Tony Arquette and Ms. Kern, seconds.
This proposed resolution is to fill a position that has been made vacant due to a resignation. It is essential for ensuring that children are protected by a timely filing of petitions and motions and scheduling of court dates and other clerical activities are an important part of what makes it possible for the legal office to work well.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Resolution modifying the 2019 budget for community services for an increase to the salary of the chemical dependency program director. We have a motion. Larry Denisha makes the motion. Who seconds it? Mr. Forsythe seconds it. Go ahead, Jay.
The Board of Legislators previously had approved a resolution to abolish a chemical dependency program director and to create a senior counselor position, which was filled on 7/15/19. The current or the remaining chemical dependency program director is now providing oversight to both the Augustburg Clinic and its satellite at Messina, as well as the Canton Clinic and its satellite in Gouverneur. In addition to that oversight, the program director was providing oversight of the district clinic. We've now moved that to the mental health program director. She supervises the chemical dependency case aid that we just spoke of that are co-located at DSS, coordinates the jail-based services, which have expanded to include a case aid. We continue to provide Vivitrol injections there. Additionally, she implemented the telemedicine program in Canton and continues to oversee the scheduling and tracking of all MAT patients. During the transition of prescribers for MAT, we were at our low. We were in the 40s, and we're back up close to 70 in terms of having MAT, people on MAT services. She also oversees and coordinates the opioid overdose program, which is the Narcan trainings, and also works closely with Michelle James in the Stop TWI program. With regard to the finances, a program director plus fringe with salary and fringe would be $121,315. A senior counselor position with fringe is $81,741. So the initial cost savings would be $39,574. This resolution is proposing that she get bumped to a step 10 for an increase of $4,646. So the remaining cost savings, if this were approved, would be $32,564 for the Community Services Department.
Any discussion? Go ahead, Ms. Sarquin.
Just to be clear, there are no future wage increases unless they have a positive review on the clinics and the director?
Correct. I mean, we're going to look at this, you know, this structure, this staffing structure, to see if it provides enough oversight and is adequate to manage, you know, the outlying clinics. If not, she would revert back to her current salary and the associated step that she would receive in that interim period.
And the clinic performance expectations, how will you monitor those? Is that based on proficiency?
You know, I mean, it's certainly time and paperwork again. Certainly we're looking at production. The reporting to OASIS, you know, making sure that we have time to report to OASIS. Just staff oversight in terms of time management and things like that.
Mr. Burke.
Is there a written set of expectations for this person? Maybe I should ask, have there been written expectations for the person holding the job?
Well, there's the civil service job specifications, but you know, we're kind of looking at divvying out what is the senior counselor going to be responsible for, what is the program director going to be responsible for, so we're looking at that.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Why not? The question is, why has it not been listed and put down with specific written performance goals? I guess I don't understand. We're changing the position. We're trying to reformulate this. We're trying to get efficiencies in. We've had some problems. Why is it not listed? And therefore, so the person coming in the job understands fully by written expectations, time elements, can we follow up on those? I don't understand why it's not done.
Well, I mean, again, we do have the civil service job. We do have the civil service, you know, job description, which has a list of duties and responsibilities. In this instance, it's going to be, you know, kind of times two, with the exception of, you know, carving out what the senior counselor is going to do, which is probably going to be doing a lot of monitoring of, you know, the paperwork and the timeliness of the paperwork. We're not going to kind of rush her into doing any of the disciplinary that's already been started within the clinics. That's going to be continued by the chemical dependency program director. So we've kind of got it sketched out in terms of what it's going to look like. We haven't made it formal, put it formally in writing.
One of the things that Jay has done is had the program director that we're speaking of go into Ogdensburg and come up with a list of all the things that have not been done. And he's been monitoring those and providing those to me with which ones are ongoing, which ones have been completed, and that includes file review. There's a large portion of the work that wasn't done without full-time clerical over there that the office manager is also helping out at this time doing. That certainly can be shared with the board, you know, as far as the status, because this employee going in, you know, wanted sort of a litmus test benchmark for when they picked up the work, what wasn't done and what they found when they got there, because they shouldn't be held to the standard for that work. They should be held from this day forward. And he's monitoring that. We can certainly share that with you. And if there's a set time, if we want to do biweekly or every month that he's here at services to give you a status update, I think that would make sense. Because I also asked Jay, if this doesn't appear to be working, let's not wait till the 6-month mark to evaluate for merit. Let's come back and say, revert back, and the board has to consider potentially the creation of another position, if that's warranted.
I haven't.
Yes,
I still.
Thank you.
I'm not questioning how you're monitoring it, okay? I think Mr. Burke's question had to do with, is it written down? And we're told that we have a job description, and that we're going to put it together on a job description. That doesn't seem to make any sense to me. If we, in other words, what we're going to need here, it appears, is we're going to need to be quick on our feet and be able to make decisions quickly and fast. And if we don't have clear expectations listed to what we're going to do, I'm surprised. I'll leave it at that.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Burke.
I guess my question, it wasn't too many years ago, we had a supervisor who was running the substance abuse side. Then we obtained a program director. Then we obtained two program directors. And now that we're back down to one, we want to jump that person from 7 to 10, or if I read that correctly, step 7 to a step 10. And I guess I'm wondering why you wouldn't come back with that request after the performance, after there has been a time to see whether she can meet the expectations of the new responsibilities. I assume she's not going to work any more hours than the 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. You're not adding hours, are you?
No, she's manager confidential, so she's not going to get the overtime.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not in favor of giving any raises without a clear set of performance expectations and a clear indication that those performance expectations have been met.
Any further discussion? Go ahead, Sharkle.
But Jay, she is taking on more responsibility, correct?
She has.
So we are expecting her to take on more responsibility without any additional pay.
I'm sorry?
We're giving her more responsibility, and that's why you're wanting the pay increase,
correct?
But if she doesn't follow through and we don't see productivity increases, then she won't get any further increases. Right. So we're expecting more out of her. That's why we're giving her a little bit more money.
Correct.
Okay.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Two, three, four, five opposed?
Can you have a raise?
Raise your hands. 1, 2, 3. Rita, your hands up. Oh, your fingers are pointing up. Okay.
Three.
So there's only three.
Yep.
Okay, three opposed. Carried. We have a resolution modifying the 2019 budget for community services for the delivery system report incentive payment program clinic. We have a motion. Mr. Perkins. Rita Kern seconds. Go ahead.
Well, you originally started with the district. We originally were going to contract with Claxton Hepburn, then we opted to try to contract with our own part-time provider, and we advertise, and they're unable to fill that position. So we're just switching these budget lines around to move our part-time position to a contractual position, because we are contracted with Claxton Hepburn for our medical providers within the district.
Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Resolution modifying the 2019 budget for community services for a locum tenens staffing agency contract. We have a motion by Ms. Kern, second by Larry Tanisha. Go ahead, Jay.
I believe we're trying.
What's the question?
I believe it was back in June that the Board of Legislators passed a resolution.
It was on then, I guess. Passed a resolution allowing community services to enter in a contract with a locum tenens provider. You know, we have since executed that contract, and we have a locum tenens person providing MAT services for the chemical dependency clinics. We're moving monies from vacant positions, salary lags, those being there was two part-time per diem nurse practitioner positions that we attempted to fill but could not fill those positions. There's a lag in a keyboard specialist position, and also a lag in a chemical dependency counselor position, allowing us to fund the locums tenum agency contract.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
So in terms of the current wait list, we have been putting those on the wait list into the schedules. Right now, some of them are being scheduled 2 weeks out. So, you know, technically, I mean, that's one of the things is how do you define a wait list? A lot of time providers say they don't have a wait list, but they're also scheduling the clients or families out a month at a time. So technically, they're still waiting. But we have scheduled out 2 weeks in advance, and our wait list is currently down to 26.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go on the next one.
Okay. Old and new business? Well, now let's go to committee reports. Committee reports first. Do we have anything on Board of Health? Go ahead, Kevin.
Board of Health is what we've discussed and voted on tonight. It was a sanitary code. I believe that the sanitary code will provide a uniform code across the county that'll help out, particularly our code officers in the towns, not knowing when to act and how to act. There's quite a bit of restrictions. I think this will give us more leeway to remove some harmful situations.
Thank you, Kevin. CDP Board of Directors, anything there? Community Services Board, Office of Aging Advisory Board. Go ahead, Mr. Denation.
Yeah, other than today, the Santa Rosa County held their, I've lost it. had their big meeting at the casino for all the seniors. And I was unable to attend, but Keith. Yeah. But it was, other than that, you know, it's normally well attended. Seniors from all over, actually from Franklin County come as well, and from as far away as Star Lake, Cranberry Lake, and so it's always a good time. And
good, thank you. All right. Youth Advisory Board.
So as you all know, Joanne Zevick is happily on her way to retirement. So we have an interview committee set up, and we plan to have our first meeting this Friday to look at job description and ads for that. At the last meeting, we just kind of went over the summer crew, the Discover Your Future Here internship program that provided work for 14 eligible youth. Through internships, we looked at the Youth Conservation Corps and some of the work that they've done over the summer, some of their service projects. Talked a little bit about school tours and civic engagement to see if there's a way that we could engage more schools and coming on tours of the county to different departments. So hopefully that's something we can definitely work on coming up in this school year. Maybe a partnership with the transportation department even in the schools.
Thank you. Any old or new business coming before the board? Executive session, I think we're going to hold off until the operations to go into the executive session end of this. Any further business come before the board? And it's adjourned. Okay, Larry.
Call the August Operations Committee meeting to order, please. Someone to make a motion to approve the agenda. Mr. Akers and Mr. Forsythe. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Need a motion for the approval of the minutes of the July 15th meeting. Ms. Curran and Mr. Perkins. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? carried. By the way, it was the Seniorama.
There it is.
First order of business is we have a presentation on the census. And Chris Ivan and John, I'm not sure if you want it. Are you going to play a part in this as well?
No. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chris Ivan. He works with the Census Bureau. He's a participation specialist. And he and his two assistants, and I'm not sure if your name, so I don't know what you tell us who you are. They will be working with us to make sure that we get a complete count in St. Lawrence County during the census process next year. So without further ado, Chris Ivan.
Thank you, John, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm honored to be here this evening. My goal is to keep this presentation as brief as possible so that you can ask lots of questions, because I'm sure you have them. So my name is Chris Ivan. I'm a partnership specialist with the U.S. Census Bureau. Nikki and Stacy are also partnership specialists. They live closer to you. I live near Syracuse. But we'll be working together to support this county and others to help them prepare for the 2020 census. The reason I'm here is because, well, the census is important, the census is easy, the census is safe, and we need you, you need us, to ensure that everyone gets counted in 2020. So I'm going to get right into it as fast as possible. And I'll be skipping slides so that we can go through this quickly, so don't be discerned by that. The census is important. The Census Bureau itself, we are the experts on statistics. We do this all the time, not just once every 10 years. We do the surveys in between those 10 years. The census provides all the statistics that you use as community leaders to meet the needs of your community, and people all across the country do the same thing. It provides all the information on the veteran status, insurance status, commute times, employment status, the things that you need that you use every day to help meet the needs of your community. The census itself, first of all, is important. So that's the first point. It's the sixth sentence in the Constitution that requires the federal government to complete a census every 10 years. It's important, first of all, because of representation. It's at the heart of our democracy. So in order to have a representative democracy, we have to know that our districts are relatively equal. That's why it's in the Constitution. That's a pretty high standard that supersedes lots of other laws. So it's important for that reason. But it's also important for resources. So the federal government every year distributes $675 billion worth of money to municipalities, governments, based on where people are and the characteristics of those people. So census information is used to distribute money that you need for your community to serve your people. It's also used to redraw district lines of all sorts. It's also used by businesses to figure out where to site a business so they can find employees or customers. Nonprofits, if anyone of you are associated with a nonprofit, you know that when you apply for a grant, you use census information to demonstrate that the people you propose to serve really exist. So this information is critically important for you as leaders and for the representation of the citizens that you represent to make sure that they are represented properly in Congress and the Electoral College. So it's important. Secondly, the census is safe. This is a very important issue this year, as it is every year. Trust in the government varies, obviously we know that. But the census is safe. We know that when people give us personal identifiable information, that it's they're trusting us. We don't want to lose that trust. So we have enshrined in law, Section 13 of the U.S. Code, Title 13 of the U.S. Code, provides for penalties for those who break the law in terms of sharing personally identifiable information, $250,000 of fine, 5 years in jail. I've taken an oath to protect personally identifiable information for the rest of my life, as has every single census employee. We do not release data on individuals, information on individuals. What we do release is data. We release statistics on groups of people. The smallest possible grouping of those people would be what we call a census block. So no one will ever see your personally identifiable information that you put on the 2020 census unless you wait 72 years and then it comes out through the National Archives so you can look up people's genealogy. Because the census data is protected, we can tell you with certainty that it won't go to other government agencies. It doesn't go to police departments. It doesn't go to the Department of Justice. The identifiable information stays within the U.S. Census Bureau. We have the strongest data protection and encryption and firewalls available to ensure that even though, and we get hacked every day, or people attempt to hack us every day, that information has never been released. Courts have upheld Title 13 consistently to ensure that no other agency gets that information. Data is secure. Very important point. The third important point is that the census is easy, and I know this doesn't look like there's anything easy about that, but this is the hard work that goes in to make sure that it's easy for everyone else. So thank you to John. We're going to start with establishing where to count. John, in the planning department, has been working hard over the last year or more to ensure that we know where people are. That's the most important thing, to make sure that we reach everybody with our invitations for the census. So he's gone through the local update of census addresses. He's also going through a process now to make sure that we have the best addresses for the most recently built construction between now and April 1st. So we're going to have the best possible addresses on April 1st of 2020 to get to the people that live in your community. That's critically important. We're right now at the second step, motivating people to respond. That's why I'm here. Now, we're preparing to motivate people to respond. No one can respond to the census right now. My job is to work with organizations, governments, leaders of all sorts, to help them understand what the census is about and to figure out how they can help ensure that there's a complete count in their communities. So that's why I'm here. I'll tell you more about that in a second. Third step is counting the population. There's some new things this year you should know about. In March of 2020, mid-March, everyone who has an address will get a letter in the mail. It will be an invitation. So rather than a questionnaire, in 2010 everyone got a questionnaire on the first mailing. In 2020, everyone will get an invitation to fill out the census online or by phone. Okay, it'll include a 10-digit identifiable number that goes to the address. That you enter the 10-digit code, you fill out the form, 10 minutes, quick, easy, done. Most people are going to do that. We're excited about that. Those are two new ways of filling out the census, by phone and online. We want people to do that. We want people to fill them out online or by phone, because the earlier in the process they fill them out, the less likely we are to miss them. We want to catch them as early as possible. That's our goal. That should be your goal as well. For those who don't fill out the form online or by phone, they'll get some reminder emails, or no, I'm sorry, no emails. They'll get some reminder letters, but eventually they will be sent the questionnaire, just like in 2010. So to summarize that, those three methods, anyone who wants to fill it out by paper will have an opportunity to do that, but we have two additional methods this year so that people can fill it out ahead of time, which is great. For those people who don't fill out the census through those three methods, they will get a visit. So if you know someone who really doesn't want someone knocking on their door, please encourage them to fill out the census online, by phone, or by paper. Thirdly, the fourth step there is, once we get through all those forms, we will compile the information, analyze it, and provide the data to the executive, the census, to the President of the United States by the end of 2020, and to the states by the end of March 2021. That's the easy process, but it's easier this year than ever. Also, to make it easy, by the way, we have for this year, because we're going online and by phone, people can fill out that form online in 12 languages. There's the 12 languages in the middle of the screen there. They can also call up and speak Haitian Creole with a census taker on phone, who can walk them through the census and fill out the census online that way. So that's our goal, is to make it as easy as possible, like I said. Every mailing will come in Spanish and English. Every mailing will be bilingual. The 12 languages, online and by phone. The 59 languages that you see there, there's a total of 59. Those are the languages in which there will be printed and video instructions on how to fill out the English form online or in print. So our goal is to make it as easy as possible. Okay. We have a plan. I'll skip through that. We're opening census bureaus. We're hiring people in your community. This is the one message that we're sending out to the community right now. There are people who live in your community who could use some extra hours, could use some extra dollars, They know the community better than I do or any other person from Washington, D.C. I'm not from Washington, D.C. But we want to hire local people. We want to hire your neighbors because they know the community. They're more likely to overcome any cultural or linguistic barriers in this community. So if you can help spread the word, we are taking applications now. I have a packet of information that John will help distribute here in a little bit. In the back is a sheet of paper that tells a little bit more about the jobs that we're hiring for. The minimum wage for these jobs, the lowest level wage in this area, is $17 an hour, and they're very flexible. So you can work 5 hours a week, 10 hours a week, evenings, weekends, whatever. You might be interested yourself. It's actually a fun job. 2020census.gov/jobs. That's what people need to go to, and we can start filling out those applications right now. There are lots of obstacles to having a complete 2020 census. None of these are surprises to you, but people are mobile. There's declining response rates. People are census are surveyed out. We know that. There's distrust in government. These are no surprises. But the solution to overcoming these problems is people like you who are connected to your community. You know your people. They elected you. We need you. You need you. Your county needs you to reach out to those people so that the people who are especially hard to count, the people who are not likely to respond to the invitations, to ensure that they understand that the census is important, safe, and easy. So we've created a partnership with your county, John being the lead person on that. Thank him for the work he's done and the conversations we've had over the last few years. You have also taken a step in this direction, by the way, skipping ahead real quick, to a complete count committee. You authorized in April a complete count committee for this county. You were way ahead of the curve, and you did a good job with that. You put John, you authorized John to start to organize that. He needs your help. What this complete count committee is made up of, essentially partners of the Census Bureau, people who know those hard-to-count populations, the poor, the people who move in here recently, the new arrivals, people who don't speak English very well, people who don't use electronic communications, people who are transient college students. So the goal is to have the people who know those people brainstorming, strategizing together in a complete count committee, executing those strategies so that all those hard-to-count people get counted, so that you get the representation and resources that you deserve in this county. And the way you get started is you start recruiting people. You might know people that should be on this committee. You should think about it. You should talk to John about it, because he will be talking to community leaders of all sorts, leaders of nonprofits, a lot of those, but also business leaders and local government leaders, helping them understand what the census is all about. I'm going to help them with that, but also getting them together so that they can help create a strategy and execute a strategy for your county. Okay. Complete count committees can be large or small, but they can break into subcommittees based on hard to count communities, recruiting, different groups, and so forth. You can organize it however you want. There's no single roadmap for a complete count committee. However, we do have lots of information. I just talked to John about this. We have guides. We can help train people. It's not really training. It's really just a matter of educating and sort of empowering them to get going. So a complete count committee is the secret sauce of making sure that everyone in your community gets counted. And we want you to create a good one, a strong one. My role, Stacy's and Nikki's role, is to support John and that complete count committee and your county as a whole to ensure that it is successful as possible. Good news is we have some tools to help you. This is a screenshot of what we call ROAM, R-O-A-M, because the federal government loves to create acronyms. It stands for the Response Outreach Area Mapper. What you're looking at here is a slice of St. Lawrence County, and you can kind of tell where it is. What I've selected there is a census tract near Potsdam, I think. And this is a census tract that has a high low response score. What I mean by that is we expect that based on responses in 2010 and a bunch of other algorithmic information, we expect that 35% of the people in that census tract will not self-respond when they get this invitation. In other words, you're going to have to do some work to make sure that everyone there gets counted properly. When you click on that census tract or any of these census tracts, you'll find out more about the people who live there. What percentage are in poverty? What percentage live under are minors? What percentage don't speak English? What percentage don't have internet access? It's a great tool for your complete count committee or for you, because these are the areas that you support, obviously, to know more about your community, to develop a strategy to reach out to that community. And in addition to this, in addition to Rome, once the census rolls around, there will be a live map like this where you can see, almost live, it'll be updated daily, response rates by census tract. So when it comes to the end of April and perhaps a census tract in your area isn't responding as expected, you can, the Complete Count Committee, can divert resources or come up with a plan to change that, to make a difference in that community, hold an event. You can imagine, because this is an online census, you could encourage people to take out their cell phones and fill it out on at a community social or at a baseball game. There's a lot more opportunities to do some interesting things to reach out to people this year. And we want to empower you and your Complete Count Committee to make that happen. Skip through that. We're social. You can share our stuff. That's my contact information. John has a packet of information that he's about to distribute to you. The first page is the basics I just told you. Your elevator speech. The census is important, safe, easy, and we need your help. The rest talks about data security. It talks about how we're going to roll out the census. It talks about jobs. My card is on there. I would like to create partnerships not only with the county, but with individual organizations that you're aware of, people who serve hard-to-count people in your area. I want to talk with them. I want to share information with them. I could come and talk to their staffs so that they are experts on the census. Not experts, at least ambassadors. They can answer questions confidently. The more that we spread the message, the more that we empower people in this community to understand that the census is important, safe, and easy, the more likely you're going to have a complete count. So that's it for now for me, but I'm sure you have lots of questions, and I'm happy to take your questions now. Sir.
What is the average response rate nationwide for people that elect to participate without the home visit?
Good question. So our goal, and this is, you'll laugh at this, our goal is 100%. We want 100% of the population to respond. And if you've ever tried to get 100% of everybody to do anything, you know that that is very, very difficult. The closer you get to 100%, the harder it is. So this Rome database, It'll tell you that certain areas don't self-respond to certain levels. We believe that we get close to that 100%. In 2010, we missed some. We know we did because we did some follow-up intensive studies that show that we missed some percentage. But the Rome refers to self-response. So there are a couple extra steps after that we're trying to get people up to. Our goal is to get 100%. We want to count everyone once, only once, in the right place.
And the people that go online or do it beforehand, what's the average percentage?
We don't know. This is the first year we've ever
first
had
year
on.
Tried it this
yeah.
Way.
So in 2010 there was no online response.
So you must have a target.
Yeah, our target is 100%.
100% that way.
Yeah. No, it won't occur that way because we're hiring hundreds of thousands of people to actually knock on doors. We wouldn't be doing that if we didn't expect that we will have a lot of people who don't respond.
Yeah, normal surveys are 30% would be a good one.
That's right, and we're going for 100%. So we expect, honestly, that nationwide, that we're, and I just heard this on a press call this morning, that our need to go to door-to-door is going to be less than 30% nationwide. So, but we do, at that point, still hope to get everybody. Okay. And so that's a much smaller number than it was in 2010, so it'll be less expensive and higher quality data. Sir?
When you're looking at populations, I'm sure we're looking at also where they live. What about college students? How are they counted?
Great question. So you have four major colleges here in this county. The young adults who live on campus will be counted through their colleges. In other words, the census will contact their colleges. They know where they live. They know who they are and what their ages are. They're not going to get a census form. The students who live off campus will get a census form. And so what you'll often see nationwide is the census tracts surrounding college campuses have a low response score, and that's part of what you saw there. So we want to do a special effort, and we want to create partners in your community who have good connections with those students to make sure that we motivate them to respond, to, so they understand that it's important that they do respond. And just to be clear, students who are at college, assuming they're there the whole year, should be counted in, at their college, not at their home, at their sort of former home address. So does that answer your question? Yep. It's a good question. The questions are out. You can kind of see them. You can see the questions as the citizens will, as residents will see them. One of the questions is, does this person live anywhere else, such as a college and so forth? And they'll ask, the questions will sort of make it so that you have to put them one place or another. But in addition to that, we have a process whereby we sort of deduplicate on the back end. So, and that's a algorithmic kind of thing. And where there are any questions, if there are residual questions, we send people out to ask those questions. By the way, when I say send people out, I misspoke earlier. We do not send emails. We do not phone call people. So if you hear of anyone getting a phone call from the census or getting an email from the census, they are getting scammed. And so you can help them by telling them to not participate in whatever they're talking about. There will be people who try to scam people. I can tell you that for sure. And as community leaders, I want to empower you to help help make that less likely. We never ask for donations, never ask for bank account numbers, never ask for Social Security numbers. So there you go. Thank you. Sir.
How does someone who's interested in one of the positions that you had on the board earlier apply for those positions? And when will they be able to do that?
So we are putting people in the field right now as canvassers. They've already been hired. Then we'll kind of take a break. There won't be much work until January of next year. So we're taking applications now. They'll start work in January of next year, training and so forth, really kicking up into February, March, April, May, June, all the way through July. To apply, they must visit 2020census.gov/jobs. It's on the it's on some of the materials I gave you. There's a sheet on the back. It has some frequently asked questions. It has some orange coloring on it. That will give you the link. And that's where people should go to apply. And that's the only way to apply.
Are we counting the Amish community also?
Oh, yes.
Okay, they don't have a Social Security number. What about illegal immigrants or farm labor, migrant labor?
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's one thing that the census has always done is counting people regardless of citizenship status, regardless of age. If you are in this country, we want to count you because we want the resources and the representation to go where the people are.
About inmates?
Yes, sir. We count them similar in to a way that we count college students. So they are counted by our methods administratively. They land in the county where they are inmates. The state of New York, I'm told, wants a separate set of data that would locate those inmates to their home communities. We provide that separately, but that's not part of the apportionment or the redistricting or anything like that. Any other questions? I thank you for your time. And if you do have questions, my card is there. Enjoy the evening. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is Mr. Page, a couple resolutions, and the first one is modifying the 2019 budget for the Probation Department for funding received for polygraph examinations. Ms. Terminelli and Ms. Curran. So
So this is money that was taken in for mandatory polygraphs from 11 clients. This money just has to be, go through the books basically, comes in as revenue, goes back out as appropriations to pay the polygraph examiner.
Are there more funds that are out there but yet unpaid?
Everything was collected prior to the meeting.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The next one is a resolution authorizing the chair sign a contract with New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for raises the age for state fiscal year 2019-2020. Mr. Burke and Mr. Forsythe.
So last month I came to you and explained that we finally got a raise the age plan, financial plan approved. The state has decided they're going to contract this out. So this is just to give the chair authorization to sign the contract with the state for reimbursement for any services that, or staffing or mileage or anything that's associated with Raise the Age that we get reimbursed for.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Just a quick, so back to the polygraph things really quick. We are changing the way this was collected. I'm not thrilled with it. My previous fiscal officer put this in place. From now on, the money's gonna go right directly to the polygraph examiner and not run through our books. So we don't have to jump through all these hoops to get the money paid back out. So just so you're aware, this is kind of a one-time thing. She thought it was gonna be appropriate to run it through the books. It just turned out to be more work than it was worth. So just so you're aware. Thank you.
Next up is Mr. Zimmerman. The resolution budget for the planning office for a statewide mass transportation operating assistance program. Mr. Akers and Ms. Gurren.
Very simply, the state of New York provides operating assistance on a formula basis. It's a per passenger and per loaded mile. Those rates have changed since we adopted the budget, and this reflects the first quarter increase. And this is, in fact, the money that's being used to pay for the Wi-Fi that you just approved a week ago last Monday. Or last, whenever you voted on the Wi-Fi, this is the revenue. Thanks.
Relative to the services agenda, I wanted to give you just to mention that these monthly statistics are available on Google Drive. That also includes a total listing. There was a request of the commissioner to provide a total listing of the HEAP staff that will be taken on when they're at full capacity. So that list is out there for you to take a look at as well. The bank reconciliations from the treasurer's office from June have been loaded as well to Google Drive for you to take a look at. The sales tax committee met for the third time today, and we'll be scheduling to meet with the city of Ogdensburg in early September, so we can talk with you a little bit more about that. Just to follow on, Chair Terminelli of the search committee for the director, we will review that job spec and add this week, hopefully be able to get a timeline together to conclude that search and move through the interview process. So if you have any suggestions that you'd like to share with us about locations for advertising, we're always open to improve how we get the word out, certainly for director and all the positions that we have, but we certainly welcome any input from legislators. Also, the emergency services director search continues. We have solicited additional information, and we hope that in the next 7 to 14 days we will be scheduling some times to meet with folks and talk about the position further and bring a recommendation back to the board. the READY Commission has the planning teams on a regional level. That group met last Wednesday and began the process of risk mitigation as far as the 232 projects that were submitted as of August 2nd, which was the deadline. I do believe now that number is much closer to 250, and the group has been tasked to take a look at those projects. There's another meeting scheduled for the planning team this week in Ogdensburg this time, and then a public meeting to be scheduled on August 21st. Again, that's going to be held in Ogdensburg at the Dubisky Center at 1 o'clock. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get you some information shrunk down to identify where some of those projects are that may be moving forward. Also, concerns were raised regarding the representation of St. Lawrence County. That also is being addressed. So I wanted to make sure to circle back with you and let you know that they are addressing that concern. There is no meeting next week for the 19th, and Finance Committee scheduled on the 26th, which, as a reminder, Drescher and Malecki will be here to meet with you as well. We are planning, if you recall, last summer we held an employee event for serving of ice cream. We are planning to do that again August 27th with a rain date of August 28th. So certainly appreciate it if you've got time to come in and scoop ice cream, spend time with employees. We'll also be doing the recognition with the pins that we started last year to keep people current with that. So also I wanted to ask if there's no objection to provide Planning Director an opportunity to address you in executive session on the updates for the plan. Any
questions?
The monthly statistics, are they under social services, Kelly? Yes, under social services. Yep. And then I could just, unless you want me to wait, speak to the Indigent Legal Services. I mentioned to you that the contract had been approved. You had made, or the board had made approvals in 2018 in anticipation of that contract being signed. There is $353,000 or $999.82. Authorization's already been given to sign the contract, to abolish one public defender and create a chief public defender, so that's in progress, as well as create one assistant public defender position. There are funds available for training in approximate of $13,000. There's additional funds for that counsel at first appearance, which we are supposed to be adding the misdemeanor representation in the amount between categories of about $30,000. And there's $18,000 associated with IT and a variety of smaller IT support being provided. So that five-year contract will be budgeted annually, so we'll be able to talk with you about what that looks like position-wise and approve each year individually. Any questions?
Committee reports. The Ag and Farmland Protection Board, I have nothing to report. Alternatives to Incarceration Board. Would you?
There have been no meetings since the last report.
Next.
Environmental Management Council.
We also have not had a meeting since the last report that I gave. The next meeting is on August 21st, and it's going to be their annual picnic for the committee instead of the normal meeting, and that'll be in Waddington.
Fire Advisory Board, I have nothing to report. Erie County Legislative Committee.
There's no meeting in August. Our next meeting will be September 18th at the NYSAC conference.
Jury Board.
Jury Board has not met.
And the Planning.
Had our monthly meeting. We sent a number of issues back for local action, and We had some bad news. The bad news is that Keith Zimmerman will be retiring at the end of the month. I could make a long presentation, but I would have had to record it from the meeting on Keith's accomplishments. So we'd like to thank him, and it's probably good news for him. We hope we can use him in other action, not as full-time again with our planning group.
Thanks, Danny. Do we have under old or new business? Does anyone have any, Mr. Akers?
What's going on with the mics here, Keith, before you leave? The mics are cutting in and out. This one's good. That's what's important.
I'm sorry, I wasn't sure. We'll have to check the
library. They seem to be. It's
I just want to echo my thanks to Keith for all he's done for the county over these many years. I remember when Keith first went to work for Mary Verlac. He's been a real asset to the county and has been involved in so many different things, not just on the county level, but in assisting the towns and villages and providing his expertise to a lot of groups. There are a lot of not-for-profit groups that have benefited from Keith's willingness to share his expertise, and I think he'll be a huge loss to the county, and I just want to thank him for all that he's done for us.
Chairman, I wanted to thank Keith as well. You know, a lot of folks, when they're getting close to the retirement, they kind of glide a little bit, but Keith shows a different route. He picked up two or three extra hats for us. Like Jim said, his level of expertise in so many different areas is absolutely invaluable. And not only that, but he makes it fun all while he's doing it. So thank you very much.
I'm not dead yet.
I would just like to just say that I first met Keith when I was a brand new supervisor for the town of DeKalb. And that was a number of years ago, but he provided me a lot of good direction, and I appreciate it, and I appreciate all that he's done for many, many folks and many departments through the service of the county. And I appreciate the comic relief I get once in a while, especially when I forget what I want to say. I look over and Keith makes it okay because he's laughing. Do we have anything else under old and new business? Okay, there being none, we do have need for executive session for negotiations, litigation, and appointments. Mr. Akers and Mr. Fay, all those in favor? Keith will be staying.